The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The last time we were here in the Gospel of John, I preached a two-part sermon out of verse number 17 entitled, Thy Word is Truth. Prior to that, I preached two other sermons out of John 17, Sanctify Them. Today we come to verse number 18, and yet it is closely tied to verse number 17. This verse number 18 explains why the disciples needed to be sanctified by the truth. And this is going to be the gist of the sermon this morning. And while hello, sweetheart, wherever you are. I heard it that time. While this sermon may not seem on the surface to have anything to do with you, it does have something to do with you. I'm going to be speaking on the importance of the minister of the gospel, or an importance of the preacher having and knowing and being faithful to the truth. And so while I will be preaching primarily to myself, these things are also very important for you to know. There may be a day that you're no longer at Beth Haven and you're looking and searching for another church. There may be a day, there will be a day, someday in the future, that I am no longer here and you'll be searching for a pastor. These things are important for you to hear and to know and to understand. So I don't want you to think, oh, well, this is not for me, I'm not a preacher. This is vital for all of us. Okay? And we're going to look at this thing of why the minister of the gospel, why the man who calls himself a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, why they need to be sanctified by the truth. Here in verse number 18, that reason is not drawn by the fact that they are simply believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although I said a few weeks ago, a month ago or so, that all believers need to be sanctified. All followers of Christ need to be sanctified. We need to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and less like the world. We need to be more righteous and less sinful. Sanctification is a process that ought to be taking place every day in our lives. Honestly, you should be closer to Christ today than you were last Sunday. That's the way it ought to be. There ought to be a progressive sanctification in our lives. But when we come to our text, we're not dealing with a general sanctification of the truth to just believers in general. But here in the immediate text, we see the need for sanctification because they have a commission to preach the gospel. They have a commission to preach the gospel. And truth and holiness are the requisite, or if you want to say the prerequisite, for preaching the gospel. Truth is a requisite for preaching the gospel. Amen. That shouldn't have to be said, but we're going to say it 100 times this morning. Truth is the requisite for preaching the gospel. A preacher of the gospel needs to take doctrine seriously. He needs to know the truth. He needs to be ever learning. He needs to be correcting his own errors. He needs to be rightly dividing the truth. He needs to be apt to teach. He cannot be a novice, the Bible says. And so it is vital. Listen, it is. If you have to go in for some type of surgery, I don't care whether it's having your appendix removed or having brain surgery or cancer removed. I don't care what it is. If you go to the dentist, you want someone who is well trained and well qualified to deal with your issue. And it's even more vital to have a preacher who is sanctified by the truth, who knows the truth, who studies the truth, who is not a novice, and who is correcting his own errors and is helping you see the light. I know a man. I personally know a man. He made a profession of faith 40 years ago. And he began immediately preaching as an evangelist. The Apostle Paul went into the desert for 3 years before he began his ministry. This man, whom I know personally, I've been in his home, saved 40 years ago, immediately began preaching as an evangelist. The result is, listen, that even though he preaches in over 40 churches a year, and for an evangelist that's a full schedule, even though he preaches in over 40 churches a year, when it comes to the Bible, he is as dumb as a box of rocks. You probably think that's a mean thing for me to say. But I say to you, he is a danger to any church that invites him, and to any church that in whose pulpit he stands. You know, we've got a beloved evangelist that spent over 20 years coming to our place. And I can honestly say, I never in 20 years heard him preach a bad sermon. Brother Jack Tripp was a wonderful preacher of the Word of God. Every sermon he ever preached fed my soul and was right. This evangelist, I've never heard him preach a right sermon. I've never heard him preach a good one. He's been corrected scores and scores of times, by myself included. But he stubbornly ignores the correction and he presses forward in extreme and dangerous ignorance and impiety. 40 years later, he is still a novice and most likely unconverted. I know you think that's mean, but I have absolutely no love for false teachers and false prophets. And absolutely no love for men who claim to be saved and preaching for 40 years that don't know the simplest of Bible truths. The preacher of the gospel not only needs to have a good handle on the truth, but he needs to be holy and have a good testimony. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The preacher of the gospel not only needs to have a good handle on the truth, but he needs to be holy and have a good testimony. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop — bishop is simply another word for pastor — if he desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. God has very strict guidelines for the men who pastor his churches. Now this morning, I want to look at this idea that the preacher of the gospel must be endowed with the truth. He must be endowed with the truth. He must be sanctified by the truth. First of all, because of the quality of the office that he holds. Because of his calling. Because of the task and responsibility that he has to preach the truth. Jesus says in our text, he prays, he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. They must be endowed with the truth, they must be sanctified by the truth, because of the quality of their office, because of their calling, because they have a responsibility to preach the truth. You must know the truth, because you supposedly have a calling to preach the truth. They're appointed to preach the Word of God, not human traditions, not human inventions, not the thoughts of their heart. They are to preach the Word of God. They are to preach the truth of God. If Jesus Christ said that his doctrine was not his own, but that it was from God, is that not what Jesus said in John 7 and verse number 16? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Jesus did not come preaching his own personal doctrine. He preached the doctrine of God the Father who sent him. And if Jesus Christ does not preach his own doctrine, how much more should we be careful not to preach our own doctrine, but to preach the doctrine of God, to preach the truth of God, to preach the truth of the Holy Word of God. How much more should a minister of God declare what they read and what they receive from God by the Holy Scriptures? The prophets of old began their sermons with, thus saith the Lord. The apostles began their epistles to the church with, an apostle and servant of the Lord. Seeing that a preacher has an office that requires truth, a trust, he's been entrusted with that which requires truth, he ought to earnestly pray to be endowed with the truth. And he ought to pray that he would be faithful to the truth. And he ought to pray that he understands the truth. And he ought to pray that he can rightly divide the truth. A preacher that is not the light and salt of the earth is good for nothing. And you ought to quit and find an honest living in another field. If he will not read this book and study this book and carefully and prayerfully and honestly divide this book and preach the truth, he ought to quit and get an honest living. Amen. By their very calling, preachers are to be ministers of truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and 8, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Listen, my whole existence in this church, and my whole existence among you that in this congregation, is to give the truth. That's my entire existence here, is to deal with you in the truth. Not only does the minister's office require that he be endowed with the truth because of that very office, because that's what the office entails, because that's what the office of pastor is about, is handling the truth and preparing and giving out the truth. But he needs to be endowed with the truth, and it's necessary, the truth is necessary. If he can respect the subordination of the office. The problem with many pastors today is they do not recognize the subordination of their office. Amen. Ministers are not masters and lords. They're not masters over your faith. They're not lords over the faith. They are not there to advance their own dictates. They are not there to advance their own whims. They are not there to advance their own beliefs. The office, they are subordinate in the office to God. They are subordinate to His Son Jesus Christ. They are subordinate to the Word of God. It's a ministerial office. This is a ministerial office, not a magisterial office. The pastor is a minister, not a magistrate. With respect to the congregation, the bishop is a guide. I'm your guide. I'm your overseer. I'm your under-shepherd. I lead you and I guide you. But with respect to God, bishops are ministers. They are servants. They are under the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And they must deliver what they have received of Him. They cannot make up their own articles of faith. They cannot make up their own way of worship. They cannot institute their own sacraments. That would be spiritual treason. The pastor is like a gemologist. He doesn't make the jewel. He just examines it with his skill, and he examines it with his knowledge, and he discovers what is real and what is fake. I don't bring you new truth. I don't invent truth. That's not my position. I don't have that right to make up stuff and to demand stuff of you that I've made up. I don't have my right to impose my whims upon you. I don't have a right to impose my traditions upon you. My responsibility is to examine and figure out what is truth and give you truth. Matters not how wise the minister is. Matters not how educated he is, how holy he is, how popular he is, how successful he is. He is in a subordinate position in the office of pastor. He is in the office of minister, which literally minister means servant. You know, somewhere along the line, we've tried to elevate this office here and begin to call ourselves reverend. And I get called Reverend Coe every once in a while. And I'll be honest, it's got a nice little ring to it because it kind of gives the air of importance. And I don't think anybody here has ever called me Reverend Coe. But people in the world who know I'm a pastor, they call me Reverend, and it's got a nice little ring to it. It's got a nice little air to it. It makes me feel like I'm important. But I'm a minister. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this office, I am subordinate to Him, and I am subordinate to His Word. The minister is a subordinate servant to Christ and to His Word. We're compared to ambassadors. We represent the King, not ourselves. An ambassador does not represent himself. He represents his King and his country. We're compared to stewards, not masters. We take precious care of that which is not ours. We take precious care of the Word of God, the truth of God. We guard it. We handle it carefully as a steward. The Scripture is called God's Testament. Then we got the Old and the New Testament. God's will. The lawyer has no right to change anything in the will. The lawyer has no right to change anything in the last will and testament. The lawyer has no right to dabble in that will and change the will of the deceased. They are there simply. The lawyer is there simply to make sure that the will of the last will and testament, the will of the deceased, is carried out to the T. Amen? That's the job of the lawyer. He can't say, well, you know what? I think you should get a little more. I'm going to take from your brother and give to you. He can't do that. He is there to execute the will of the deceased. We have no right but to only preach His Word and His will. And we as ministers are bound to the Word of God. We are warned, are we not, to not add to it. do not take away from it. So, the minister of Christ is to be endowed with the truth, sanctified by the truth, because of the quality of his office. What is the quality of his office? Well, that's the very nature of his office. The very nature of his office is in dealing with truth. I mean, what would you think if you went to the DMV? And I was actually shocked. You know, I complained about our DMV for years. Oh, ours was so terrible. But they've actually, our DMV is not that bad anymore. They actually have it running fairly well. And you got nice comfortable seats, and it's not bad. But I was reminded here just a couple of weeks ago, and I remember how bad it was 30 years ago in Michigan. And I hear that it's still bad. In fact, get off track here. They actually will go into the DMV, pull a number, and go to lunch. They'll pull a number, they'll look at their number, they'll look at the board, and they'll go to lunch. Or they'll go back to work. And they'll come back in 2 hours and check their number. That is the truth. Or they'll go in and pull a number, and they'll hang out in line, and they'll trade with someone who's back further. And they have a whole system of trading numbers, making deals at the DMV. Let's say that you went to the DMV and you waited here for an hour and you got up to the window. You said, I'd like to put a new sticker in my plate. And they say, oh, yeah, we don't really like to do that. You know, there's a little kiosk at Sheets. Why don't you go down there and try it there? And we don't really feel like, come on. That's what you're there for. You are there to give me a new sticker on my plate. I waited here over an hour. I'm not leaving here and going down to Sheets to a kiosk. The office of the minister is to deal with the truth. 2nd, he is subordinate to the truth, not his own whims. 3rd, truth is necessary to the minister of the gospel in regards to the effects of his ministry. Or the ends of his ministry. Or the appointed goals of his ministry. Listen, the sun may as well not, it may as well not give light or heat as for the preacher to not give the truth. If the preacher wants the effects or the ends or the goals that he's supposed to have, he must deal in the truth. He must be endowed with the truth. He must be sanctified with the truth if he wants the right ends, if he wants the right goals to happen. And what are the ends? What are the goals? The main goal is the conversion of sinners. Amen. The conversion of sinners, the regeneration of sinners. The main end is that lost men might be genuinely saved. That they might be born again by the power of God. That is a premier goal, is that lost men might be saved. And this is not going to happen without the truth. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us. I'll take a little detour here. We're not saved by our own will. We're saved by his will alone. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of our first fruits of his creatures. The truth is paramount that people would be saved. Lies and false doctrine do not convert men. All they do is create false converts, which is a horrible, horrible thing to do. Listen to me, it is a horrible, horrible thing to create a church full of false converts. And yet over the years, many of the very well-known popular preachers who have pastored churches of several thousand, they have admitted that probably more than half of their congregations are unconverted. It's a horrible thing to create false converts. Lies and false doctrine can do no more to convert the sinner than dirt can make your face clean, or that darkness can give you light. a false preacher, a heretical preacher, may pervert many, but he converts nobody. He may subvert many. He may subvert hundreds, if not thousands of souls, and even brag on the number being saved, but they are nothing more than twofold child of hell. You must preach the truth for real converts. You must preach the truth for genuine salvations. You must preach the truth for people to really, really get genuinely born again. You water it down, you cut it up, you twist it, you make it unrecognizable, you'll make false converts and you'll make them twofold child of hell. Listen to me, it's a lot easier to deal with someone who knows they're lost than it is to deal with someone who prayed a prayer after someone spoke to them for a minute 30. Because these people now believe they're saved and you can't do a thing with them. And you know what's impossible today? It's impossible today, after 50 or 60 years of sloppy soul winning, it is impossible today to find anyone who admits that they're lost. Everyone is saved. Only problem is, everyone's not saved. Most people are not saved. A true preacher of the gospel must preach the truth of God's word. Here is something. Listen. I told Brian a month ago, the term now is woke, and I am woke to the condition of the spiritual world. I know what's going on out there. My finger is on the pulse of what is going on, especially in Baptist churches. I am aware. I know. I listen to more sermons in a week than you do probably in a month. I read. I know what's out there. And this is something, a public statement written yesterday by a false prophet in Baptist circles. I read you verbatim. Here it is. Quote, "Truth be told, a person can be saved and do nothing for the Lord or show any evidence whatsoever of a changed life." Now that is the truth. Let's not fool ourselves. End quote. This is by a false prophet within the Baptist circles, written yesterday, verbatim. "Truth be told, a person can be saved and do nothing for the Lord or show any evidence whatsoever of a changed life. Now that is the truth. Let's not fool ourselves." Brother and sister, that is a lie. Let's not fool ourselves. He has completely, evidently, cut out of his Bible 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature." He is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold what? All things become new. This man's lying. This man is no doubt unconverted. It's not biblical salvation. I heard a man, and I've got the clip somewhere on a hard drive somewhere. He said, "You can get saved and literally live like the devil all your life and still go to heaven." And people take this. If I said stuff like that, you should get up in the middle of the sermon and exit. One goal is the conversion of sinners, the genuine conversion of sinners, and that is only accomplished by the truth. The second goal in the minister's life, in his gospel ministry, would be to promote the work of grace in the life of believers. To promote your spiritual growth, to promote your spiritual health, to water the seed in the lives of true believers. Ephesians 4:11-12, we'll go back there again later, but Ephesians 4:11-12, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The minister of the gospel's job is to teach and preach and perfect the saints of God for the work of the ministry and to edify the body of Christ. A minister without the truth can no more help the growth of the godly. A minister without the truth can no longer help the growth of the godly. Are you listening? Are you listening? A minister without the truth can no more help the growth of the godly than a dead mother can nurse a baby. How can he help the growth of the believer when he does not have the truth and he does not preach the truth? We increase in grace, we grow in grace, and we increase in grace and grow in grace the same way, by truth. We're saved by truth. We grow by truth. I watch and listen to countless Baptist preachers as they preach a false gospel and they teach their congregation things that just are not true. And I wonder in amazement. I do. I say to my friends, how do those people sit there? How do they come week after week? How is his church growing? I say to some of my friends, because I'll watch a sermon and I'll say, you got to go see this. And we talk about it. It's like, oh my goodness. And I say to them, how are those people still there? I know something about their former pastor. He was a Bible teacher. This guy is a clown. How are they still there? And I said one time, I said, how is that church growing? Oh, you think I'm exaggerating? I'm not. This guy in particular that I got in my mind is a clown. How do they stick around week after week for load after load of cow dung? But as it turns out, those people love it. They love the false teaching week after week. They love to have it so. Jeremiah 5:31. Jeremiah 5:31. The prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people, meaning the Jews, and my people, we're not talking about saved people, we're talking about my people, the Israelites, and my people love to have it so. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means, and my people love to have it so. They love it. They love that foolishness. They love that cotton candy preaching. They love stuff that isn't true. They eat it up. They eat it up and they shout. And they run the aisles. And they wave a hanky. And they invite their friends. They love to have it so. Listen, you can't have genuine converts without the truth. And you can't grow Christians without the truth. Thirdly, the third goal of the gospel ministry is to direct and guide those that are tempted and troubled. That's to help people that are struggling and hurting. Purpose of the ministry. First purpose of the ministry, see people genuinely saved. Second purpose of the ministry, help people grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Third purpose of the ministry, help you when you're tempted and troubled and hurting and having problems. To speak a word in season. To point people to the scriptures that they might find help and grace in a time of need. Amen? You struggle with worry? Your pastor should show you verses hopefully you'll come and you'll hear a sermon that talks about worry. Struggling with temptation, and he'll show you things. This is what his job is, to help you through these difficult times. To comfort you with the truth. To guide you with the truth. To strengthen you with the truth. To help you with the truth. To encourage you with the truth. But a minister without the truth is like a doctor with no skill and like a doctor with no training. The preacher without the truth cannot and does not help the wounded soul. He does more damage. God told Ezekiel to prophesy against the prophets of Israel, Ezekiel 13:22, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. God says to Ezekiel, you need to prophesy against the prophets. Because they're making the heart of my people sad, and I didn't do that. And they're strengthening the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising them life. So there are preachers out there that wound the genuine sheep. Oh, they're out there. They hurt the sheep of God. They fleece them, they beat them, they starve them, they hurt them. The goats that happen to be gathered with the sheep, oh, they encourage the goats. They encourage the goats. Ministers who pervert the truth are a great harm to the people of God. And they're a great encouragement to the wicked. Believe me when I say this, that it's as common today as it was in ancient Israel. It's as common today as it was in ancient Israel. And sadly, it's very common in Baptist churches. The Baptist used to have a high and respected name among denominations. In fact, it used to be near the top. The Baptists were highly respected. But not anymore. The Baptist name has fallen and fallen and fallen. And just as the prophet Isaiah said that truth had fallen in the streets, did Isaiah not say that? Isaiah said that the truth has fallen in the streets. And I am here to say that the Baptist name is lying in the gutter. I've said to many of my friends, I'm ashamed of the name Baptist, but I don't know what else to be. And so I've tried to tweak little things, and whenever I talk to someone, I absolutely let them know I'm a Baptist, but there's a great big old disclaimer. But I'm not like these people, I'm not like those people, I'm not like these people. I don't believe this, and we don't do that garbage, and I'm not like that. I'm trying hard to set myself apart from other Baptists because the name has fallen into the gutter. How can we help our people who are hurting and troubled and tempted if we don't have the truth? What we do is we make the good sheep cry and hurt, and we make the goats comfortable. Lastly, another goal of the gospel ministry is to prevent errors and false doctrine in the church. And the minister can only do that with the truth. He can only keep error and false doctrine out with the truth. Visiting Ephesians once again, we read this. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They lie in wait to deceive. Listen to me. It's hard for us to believe that certain people would make their way into the church with the sole purpose of sowing false doctrine among the people. That's hard for us to. We can't get our mind around that. It's just like, no way. No way. No way, preacher. People would not come into the church, into the fellowship of the church, for the simple knowing, conniving to sow false doctrine. But people come in unbeknownst to themselves, guided by Satan to bring false doctrine into the church. In other words, a person might come into the church and their goal is not, they're not thinking, they don't, husband and wife don't meet together down at Sheets just before church and say, now let's, no, I don't think they do that. Maybe they do, but I hope not. But Satan will use people. The Bible says here they lie in wait to carry in this false doctrine, this cunning craftiness, the sleight of men. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. To combat false doctrine, we need truth. To combat darkness, you need light. Amen? So you get your people established in truth. You get them reading their Bibles and to know the truth. You preach the truth. And when false doctrine comes in, it doesn't have a chance. But if the minister is seduced by error and has let truth fall into the street, how can he lead others into the truth? How can he protect others from error and false doctrine? He can't. And he becomes the proverb of Jesus. The minister who does not have the truth himself, the minister who is not endowed with the truth, the minister who is not sanctified with the truth, he cannot lead his people in truth. He cannot prevent false doctrine. And he becomes the proverb of Jesus. What proverb is that, you say? The blind lead the blind. And they what? They fall into the ditch. We cannot overemphasize the importance of truth in the life of the gospel minister. It cannot be overemphasized. May God bless the teaching and preaching of his word. May God bless his little flock at Beth Haven.